Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
While you're sitting down, turn to Hebrews in chapter 12. And if you would pray with me, pray that my voice will endure and be sustained, maybe even clear up a little bit. It's better than it was last night by far. Last night I went, just a week ago I bragged, man, I ain't been sick in 2 years. It's been amazing. Those balance of nature vitamins, that's what everybody needs to get. And then actually during the day last Sunday, I could feel something, but I didn't identify what it was. Went all week long, my voice got a little weaker. Wednesday night, a little weaker. By yesterday, it was terrible. There was squeaks. So I called Pastor Josh. I said, you've got the adult Sunday school. We had to adjust everything because of the sewer problem. You've got the adult Sunday school. I'm going to try to hold off and be able to preach in the morning service. Sometimes you look at other people's lives and you think, man, nothing ever goes wrong. You know what? It just seems like everything they touch is golden. They don't have any problems. Sometimes people look at Fundamental Baptist Church and say, man, nothing ever goes wrong there. And I'm thinking, man, you have no idea. You know, this last week we had the sewer problem. We thought we had it fixed. We had the sewer guy come and he ran his camera and he ran his snake and got that all taken care of. That was on Monday. It happened on Saturday. And we adjusted last Sunday morning. Nobody complained. Everybody had to use the bathrooms out in the Heritage Center. There was a little bit of a walk, kind of tough on some of us older guys, but nobody complained. We got through it. Then Tuesday morning, I got a phone call from Erin about 6 o'clock in the morning. She's one of our teachers. Why she was over here that early, I don't know. But I saw the number. I thought, oh, somebody died. And I answered the phone. I was just kind of in my prayer time at that time. She said, Pastor, I'm standing in the basement of the church in two inches of water. I said, oh, no. I said, she identified where it was coming from. I said, turn the water off to that toilet. She turned it off, said, didn't do it any good. I said, where's the water coming from? It's bubbling up from underneath. I said, oh, no. And so what ends up happening, long story short, praise God, we got good men and good women in this church that aren't afraid to work. And also we got good friends outside of this church. We can call on a moment's notice and they're here. Because that went wrong, seemingly went wrong. The devil meant it for evil and God used it for good. Because it seemingly went wrong, Jace, a 22-year-old man, received Jesus Christ as his Savior at 5:40 last Monday afternoon. I'm looking around to see if he's here. I'm not sure he is. He lives in the Kinross area. Said he was going to come out, boy. And because that went wrong, I was able to spend some time with Gary, who I really knew in a minimal fashion. He's fighting cancer. I was able to pray with him. I believe that Gary is saved, and I rejoice in that. Had the sewer not backed up, we would not. And you talk about God using it for good. So we got one tank pumped, the second tank pumped. Praise God, it was warm weather last week. It could have been like yesterday. Yeah, it could have been really miserable. So you can sit back and look at the circumstances of life and say, man, I'm the only one that suffers like this, like Elijah did. I'm your only prophet, God. I'm the only one this ever happens to. You can be a victim of life, a victim of circumstances, or you can be victorious over circumstances in Jesus Christ. Hey, when the guy pulled up the pump out of the second tank, which is 14 feet down, someday in heaven, I'm going to talk to Dale Bishop about this. Because this is the third time, and every time we fix something different, every time, okay, we're set now. I think for another 30 years, and it'll be somebody else's problem. And we got down, the guy got down, he pulled up that pump, and he said, I can't believe this lasted for 30 years. I said, well, he said, this isn't even a commercial pump. He said, this is a residential pump. And when he pulled it up, I'm not kidding, it fell in three pieces. God's good. He held it together during all of that cold weather. And we're ready to go now, man. We're ready to build. And we don't have to mess with that pump anymore. And so I look at that and I thank God for his goodness. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's all stand together. Hebrews chapter 12. We're all in the race. If you got born again, whether you like it or not, you are in that race. And we all have different circumstances. Let me read it first. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about With so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I could start preaching right there. You know, Jesus did not have to come to the cross. He never had to visit this measly speck of a miserable planet inhabited by rebellious, sinful sons and daughters of Adam. He didn't have to do that. But he said he endured the cross. And for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Best is yet to come. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What a miserable, sick, dark, broken world we live in. Apart from Christ, there's no light here. I was talking to some people this morning. Look at our culture. You can't even watch, a lady told me this, I don't watch this channel, all right? You can't even watch the Hallmark Channel except somewhere in a commercial or in almost every program, there are two women together or two men together. It's like they got to put it there all of the time. We are living in a culture that is Sodom and Gomorrah with a smile. Everybody's accepting it. You read Romans in chapter 1, you'll see the United States of America. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us in tender ways. God, that you would challenge every child of God, everyone who is truly born again, a born again sinner. Lord God, that you would challenge us to run the course that you have set before us. And God, may we not just be a survivor. God in heaven, may we be a conqueror, more than conqueror in the race that we have been called to run. Lord, every one of us face crisis after crisis. God, would you prepare us? Likely this will not be a long message, so God, I need your help right away with both barrels. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Crisis, C-R-I-S-I-S, we all have them. It's almost like it's the crisis of the week. Sometimes it's the crisis of the day. It's like, and it comes in waves, and it's one right after another. And you can look at life one of two ways. Either you're going to be the victim or you're going to be victorious. You can sit back and be that sad sack Christian. Everything always happens to me. Why doesn't this always happen to anybody else? All of these things come. And it's oh me and oh my. And you get that Elijah complex. Remember Elijah? Lord, I'm the only one serving you. Lord, there are thousands of others serving him as prophets of God. But he kind of felt like, man, he was big enough guy, big enough cheese that he was the only one. Why do these things always happen to me? Have you ever heard yourself saying that? Man, I have in my heart. Man, I just, remember when you used to get flat tires all of the time? Do you remember the old days, the good old days? Man, nobody gets flat tires anymore. It happens from time to time. Usually it's because of neglect or you end up hitting a nail. But there was a time, and some of you younger people don't know this, where even when you had good tires, they went flat. And it was like you were always changing flat tires on the side of the road. And it was always in the rain or below zero. It never happened at an opportune time. And you hear yourself whispering this in your heart. Maybe you were even wicked like old Tim Rader and you verbalized it. Why does this always happen to me? Why am I the only one? God in heaven must look down and say, we are, you know, what a pitiful people we have. And but he's there for us every step of the way. You may not like it. If you're born again, you're in the race. Life is a race. And if you're saved, you ought to look like you're born again no matter how your course has been set. Yeah. You know, some people have no joy of the Lord. They live like and they look like eternal life is a sentence. It's like, man, that's my sentence. I got to live forever. You understand saved by grace? You understand heaven above? You understand Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I've gone to prepare one for you. Man, the joy of the Lord ought to be all over us. There's a couple of things about this race. Number one, we're not racing against one another. But we have a course that has been set. The Apostle Paul said, I finished my course. There is a life that God has planned for you. And there are things, there are obstacles, there are hurdles in your race of life that you are going to have to overcome. God will never allow, read the book of James, he'll never allow any, book of 1 Corinthians, he'll never allow anything to come into your life except he will give you grace to overcome. And sometimes hurdles look a little, they usually do look a whole lot worse than they are. I remember when I first started running hurdles, the coach put me in the, it used to be the 180-yard low hurdles. And I looked down, it was at the Escanaba track, and it was the Kiwanis meet. I remember it very well. I'm a freshman, and of course, there's no JV. You're running 9th through 12th grade. And I remember looking, and I never ran a full hurdle course in my whole life. But because I was a sprinter, and I was a young, we had one real good hurdler. His name was Moody. It's amazing what you can remember when you get old. I don't remember his last. Moody Van Inkefort. That's what his name was. I'm at the starting line, and I'm in the third heat. And I'm looking at all these guys. I remember a guy from Crystal Falls. His name was Flood. And he ended up being a good football player as well. So did Moody, by the way. But I'm a freshman. These guys are upperclassmen. And I'm in the same heat with these guys. I'm thinking, hey, what am I doing? And you know how long 180 yards worth of hurdles looks like? Look, it's straight down the course. I mean, it's hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. I tried to scratch, but my coach wouldn't let me. And I'm in the starting gate to get down on my blocks. The gun goes off. We take off like a rocket. For the first hurdle, I was with the leaders. For the second hurdle, I was like in second or third place. Man, I still got it going. And a picture was taken for the Escanaba Daily Press. And you know where they took that picture? At the second hurdle. I was famous the next day at school, all right? But then I hit the third hurdle. Literally, I hit the third hurdle. And then I hit the fourth hurdle, and it was terrible. It was just like, wow, you know, when you talk about life is full of hurdles, obstacles. There are things that are going to come into your life. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Look what it says. I'll jump ahead. Look what it says in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have one who has gone before us. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You say, you don't know what I'm going through in my life right now. I don't need to know. And it might be that I'll never have to face that hurdle that you are facing at this point in your life. But the truth is, God is enough. And he's going to help you. The event is life. The event is the race of life. And as a child of God, we are to run this race. Now, just two things very quickly, and this isn't very deep. And I'm not going to elaborate because I want to move on. I want to have a left voice left to finish the message here this morning. Make sure you're running in the right direction. Make sure you're a child of God, that you've been born again, that you have been saved. I remind you what I said last Sunday morning. Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. He was that close to being saved. He planted a kiss on the face of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he still went to hell because he was a child of perdition. He was never born again. Jesus said he was a child of hell. You could be coming to church and hearing the gospel and you know all about Jesus and you know what he did on the cross and shedding his blood and then rising again on the third day. You understand all of that. You could be so close to the door of heaven. Jesus said, I'm the door. So close to the door, even kiss the door. Oh, I love church. And never get born again. Number one, make sure you're a born again child of God. Amen. Make sure there was a time and a place where you called upon Jesus from your heart and you were born into his family. Number two, understand that the Isthmian Games that the Apostle Paul is referring to, and I believe Paul wrote the book of the Hebrews. It's not important whether it's right or wrong, but it just fits his style almost completely. No matter, now understand this, the Isthmian Games, it is a marathon. It is a 26-mile race. They actually would leave the Colosseum and they would run for 24 miles and they come back and do those final laps in front of the cheering crowd. It is a marathon. Nobody said life is going to be easy. As a matter of fact, the Christian life is not for sissies. Man, it takes guts to run a marathon. It's not for pretty boys. It's not for people that, man, I'm gonna be a preacher and I'm gonna buy myself a nice suit and people are gonna take care of me. I'm gonna preach one time a week and I'm gonna enjoy life and I'm gonna do fishing the rest of the week. I'm just gonna enjoy the things of life. It's not, those people never last. Never, never last. It's an event, a crisis, a race. There's encouragement. He says here, wherefore seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 39 speak to that great cloud of witnesses. Dr. John R. Rice used to refer to it as the heavenly grandstand, where they know what is going on here in this earth. And they're watching the participants, we that are children of God, running the course of life, and they're cheering us on. They're encouraging us the best way they know how. There's joy in the presence of the holy angels over one sinner that repenteth. You say, where's that joy coming from in the presence of the holy angels? It's the heavenly grandstand. It's people knowing what's going on down here on this earth, and they're interested, and they're encouraging us the best way they know how. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. You are not alone in the race of life, in the crisis that you are facing. There are born again, there are saints of God all over the family of God, all over this world, that are going through what you're going through and worse. It says in verse 9, whom resist, talking about the devil, the roaring lion, in verse 8, resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And kind of a dark way, it encourages me to know that I'm not alone in my trials. It encourages me to know that there are others going through exactly what I'm going through, and they're doing it successfully because their eyes are on Jesus. It encourages me to know that there are those that go through martyrdom. They give their life because of their stand for Christ, and they're able to do it, and the grace of God is sufficient. And I'm going to be rewarded one day in heaven. If they can be martyred for Christ, if they can die for Jesus, surely I can live for Jesus. Amen. Peter here says in verse 9, the brethren, knowing that they go through the same afflictions. And then it says in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, there's a purpose for all of those hurdles. My good God above, the good shepherd, he knows exactly what Tim Rader needs in his life. And it isn't always good. It's like that castor oil you used to take as a little boy or a little girl. Man, but it isn't always good, but it's good for you. And if you read the book of James, don't turn there now, chapter 1, you understand where to count it all joy. When we fall into diverse temptations, diverse meaning many kinds, all kinds of temptations and trials and tough times. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be victorious, not the victim. And keep your eyes on the Lord and count it all joy, because there's a course that you're supposed to run. You run that course for the glory of God, and there'll be great victories. It's an event. It's a race. There's encouragement for every child of God. We're not alone in what we're experiencing. Real life is lived by real people with real problems, and God is there for them all. If you go to Hebrews in chapter 11, don't do that right now. You read about Abel and his great faith and his worship. You read about Enoch and his walk. You read about Abraham and his wait. That would be faith. You read about Moses and his win. That would be over Pharaoh. You read about Noah and his work. And all these things were done by faith. Amen. By faith. So then he goes to chapter 12 and he says, wherefore, knowing all these things, seeing all these things, and that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who? Those in heaven. And with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. The weight are not necessarily sinful things, but they hinder us. A weight, he's referring to good things that become bad things because they hold us back. If you've ever been to a track meet, man, they're, as much as they can, they have no weight on their body. They're trying to get as light as they possibly can. You don't see anybody running 180-yard hurdles with an anvil on their back. I might have been able to win that race had everybody else had the anvil. But without the anvil, there's no way little Tim Rader was going to win that race. In fact, now that I think about it, you'll never see 180-yard low hurdles again, will you? They don't even run in yards anymore. Those things are gone. By the way, I am part of a record-breaking hurdle team from Pickford High School. It was called the hurdle, medley. Anyway, there were four of us. We all ran the hurdles, and it was a medley, and we broke the Upper Peninsula record. And two of the guys that were on that hurdle team were state record holders. That's why I was on that team, by the way. And I was kind of one of the slower legs, but they don't run in yards anymore, so that record stands forever, for all of eternity. Oh, let's get back to the message. Let's go back there, all right? Encouragement, cloud of witnesses. Encumbrances, the weight. It'd be stupid to run with an anvil on your back. And again, weight, those are good things that become bad things because they are out of priority. You know, like playing ball on Sunday instead of going to church. You know, like wearing something you ought not to be wearing. And it really does grieve the Spirit of God. It becomes a weight. Then the sin which doth so easily beset us. That word beset's an interesting old English word. It means tangle. And the sin tends to tangle us up in this world. Paul told young Timothy not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. He said, Pastor Timothy, if you're going to be used of God to pastor the church at Ephesus, you've got to live a separated life. You can't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Paul here says in Hebrews in chapter 12, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, in this race of life, with all of its hurdles, lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us or tangle us, and let us run with patience. Interesting word. It means to bear a load, to bear up under the hurdles of life, under the obstacles of life. Remember, it's a marathon. You did good yesterday, but today's another day. And the devil's going to come at you again. And the flesh is going to rear its ugly head. Your old man, your old nature is going to rear its ugly head again and try to get you to do wrong. You see, it isn't that 10 seconds and you're done with 100 yards. It's a marathon. Your lungs are going to burn. Your legs are going to turn to lead. There's going to be times where it's all uphill. But you put your eyes on Jesus. You square your shoulders. Keep your eyes on the master, on the finish line, and you run that race for the glory of God. There's encouragement there. People in the grandstands, others that have gone along and done what you have done before. There are encumbrances, the weights, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That marathon thing is tough. There is nothing, let's see if I can say this right. I read this week. I thought, boy, that's wise. Pastor Josh preached on taught on wisdom this morning. There is nothing more. There's nothing that is more of a hindrance to the compromiser than time, because that compromise is a slippery slope, and if enough time goes by, you're way down the road, and it's downhill. There is nothing more damaging to the compromiser than time. See, I could compromise today and get away with it. Seemingly, I didn't, but I think I did. I could be involved in that compromise for 2 weeks and get away with it. Seemingly, I didn't. I just think I did. But as time goes, that compromise multiplies itself. Always does. And the devil will always tell you, this one time won't hurt. The second, it won't hurt. But you're doing a lot of other good things. Compromise becomes a terrible enemy. So we have the event, we have the encouragement, we have the encumbrances, and that bad thing, that good thing that becomes a bad thing becomes an idol. And then we have the example. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, man who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He did the will of his Father. Despising the shame. He was shamed when he was here on this earth. He hung in nakedness with the sin of every generation, every man, every woman, and every child upon his body. He was our sin bearer. That's what Paul said. He bore my sin to Calvary. The handwriting of the ordinances, the law, was nailed to the cross in his body. Despising the shame, now he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted in the blood, striving against sin. Jesus did it all for us. Gethsemane was not fun. Calvary was not a game. There was a great price paid for our sin. So we have a choice. Victim of the circumstances or victorious over the circumstances. We can wade in the sewer of despair with a chip on our shoulder, or we can live under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. As children of God. We can be that Christian that lives his life, like eternal life is a sentence, or we can live in the joy of the Lord. And I choose that. Now, I don't know what obstacles in my life tomorrow. I don't know what obstacles in my life, what hurdle this afternoon. But I can look unto Jesus, and I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. I know that everything, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Here's a challenge. We've got the month of April. We're not done with March yet, but we got the month of April and the month of May in front of us. I'm going to get a banner made. We're going to have little cards made. There's going to be some accountability. I'm going to challenge everybody that's part of Fundamental Baptist Church to live and experience Jesus every day in April and May. And this is a program. It's just an idea that I saw out at North Valley Baptist Church. I said, man, we can do that. Now, they did it for a different situation, different time of year, but I'm kind of poetic this way. And I thought, every day, Jesus every day in April and May. It took me all week to come up with that, by the way. All week. Jesus every day in April and May. We're going to have a card made out where you check a box every day. And I'm going to ask you to live Jesus. I'm not asking for a lot, but it's going to help us as a church. We got revival coming up, a one-day revival in May the 7th. We got all of our programs in the month of May, all of our programs in June. We got all of our Bible camps. There's so much going on, but I want to call you back to God every day in April and every day in May. There's three things I'm going to ask you to do, and you're going to check a box. And by the way, you may not like this, but I want you to sign your name to the card, and you're going to hand it in at the end of the 2 months. Just so I know where we're at spiritually. Just so I kind of know where we're at. You say, well, it's none of your business. You might be right. But then again, I'm the under shepherd here. And I'm going to ask you to do three things every day. Number one, and it's not a lot. This is minimal. I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to read your Bible 10 minutes every day. We're going to read together. You can read at your own pace. You can start over again after you get done. The book of John and the book of Acts. 10 minutes. Every day, morning, afternoon, night, whenever you can fit it in. First thing in the morning is best. But all right, 10 minutes every day. I'm going to ask you to pray 5 minutes every day. You say, well, that isn't much. Well, truthfully, that's a lot. I don't know if you've ever spent fervent prayer for 5 minutes. I'm asking, that's a whole lot harder than the 10-minute Bible reading. 10 minutes of Bible reading, 5 minutes of prayer, and hand out one gospel tract. You say, well, that's one gospel tract. You know, we got people that hand out 20 and 30 tracts a week here. We do that count but it would be far better, and I don't want to discourage you that are handing out all kinds of them, if we had hundreds of people handing out one tract a day. You know how many that'd be in a week? If we just get everybody involved, everybody read their Bible. Charles Spurgeon made this statement: I will have been a complete success if I can get everybody at the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle to read their Bible every day. If that's all I ever did, just got everybody, from top to bottom, side to side, reading their Bible every day, God the Holy Spirit take over in this place. So that's going to be the challenge. Jesus every day in April and May. 10-minute Bible reading, 5-minute prayer time, hand out one gospel tract. Now, between now and April, you can get a head start, by the way. You don't need to wait. But I don't challenge you to do that.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.